Donald Trump held a series of rallies on Wednesday, his only weekday off, you know, during his criminal trial. And for some reason, at one of the rallies, Mike Lindell, the founder and CEO of MyPillow, was brought up on stage to speak. Not exactly sure why that was a smart idea, but they did it nevertheless. And Mike Lindell, as per usual, didn't disappoint with his string of incoherent lies. But here is the whopper of them all. According to Mike Lindell, he's gone across the country. He's talking to Democrats. He's not talking to Republicans. They're already on his side. No, he is talking to Democrats. And every single Democrat that he has spoken to, he says that they are voting for Donald Trump. Don't believe me? Here he is, his own words, telling us what Democrats are going to do this November. Take a look.
And one of the things I've been doing is going and talking to Democrats. You'd be surprised. All the ones that I've talked to that voted for Biden are voting for Donald Trump. So I don't.
That's right, folks. The demographic that is, in fact, going to catapult Donald Trump back into the White House this November is none other than the Democrats themselves, the Biden voters. He says these people voted for Biden. Now they're going to vote for Donald Trump. Now, I'm willing to bet, sure, there are people in this country that voted for President Biden in 2020 that will be voting for Donald Trump in 2024. Has Mike Lindell been lucky enough to happen to figure out who all of those people are and only explicitly talk to those people? Absolutely not. That is completely not believable. Not to mention, I don't think that Mike Lindell could walk around and talk to enough Democrats to where he could even find people that are going to vote that way. But here's the thing. This isn't just about Mike Lindell telling that audience a lie. It's what the lie is setting up for the future. And that's what we have to pay attention to. Because that crowd, you heard from their response there, they loved what he said. But more importantly, they loved it because they believed it. So now you have a gaggle of Republicans, which includes Mike Lindell deluding himself there, because I do believe he believes that. Even if he made it up in his head, he's the kind of guy who makes up a lie and immediately believes it. So what you have now is you have a gaggle of Republicans who believe that there is an overwhelming number of Democrats who are going to vote for Donald Trump in November. So they're going to go the rest of this year into the November election believing that Democrats have flipped and that Trump is easily going to win. And holding that belief on election night, when those results start coming in, and Trump doesn't win, those people who were firmly convinced that all these voters had flipped and Trump was going to get it, suddenly they're left with, well, wait, why did that happen? Why did Trump lose? And that gives people like Mike Lindell and Donald Trump the clearance needed and the open, receptive minds to push election lies. That's why they tell these lies throughout the year. Like, oh, don't worry, I talked to all these Democrats. They're all voting for Trump, so he's definitely going to win. Okay, well, that's a load off. Now I'm not so worried about the election, these Republicans think. Then again, if Trump loses, they're going to be, like I said, in that receptive position of, well, now I need an answer as to why what you said would happen didn't happen. And then these charlatans like Mike Lindell jump back in and they say, oh, hey, I know you're confused, but don't worry. The reason it didn't happen the way that we all thought it was is obviously because of fraud. The election was stolen once again. So these people go in believing like, oh, okay, that makes sense now. Because I was already believing one lie, I am now more receptive to believing the other lie. And that's how they dupe these people. This is the long con, if you will. That's what Mike Lindell was doing up on stage, and that is why he is such a valuable asset to Donald Trump. Donald Trump was on the rally binge this week on Wednesday, folks, doing rallies in both Michigan and, of course, Waukesha, Wisconsin. And during his rally in Wisconsin, which happened to be the very first rally, he came across as both confused and possibly a little off his rocker because he couldn't stop slurring his words. At one point, he went on a rant about Master Lock, you know, the lock. Like, he just started ranting and raving about these locks. But it was the slurring that really caught people's attention, because this is something that's been happening more and more frequently with him. At one point he said, talking about Biden's infrastructure plan, he said, fake infrastructure, a package of infrastructure. Now, I did not misread that. If you want to hear it again, fake infrastructure, a package of infrastructure. Now, does that sound like the kind of guy who is, as he says, a very stable genius? Does that sound like something you would hear from a guy that could totally ace every cognitive test put in front of him? No. It sounds like a guy who is mentally slipping. A guy that's been stuck in a courtroom for, you know, 3.5 weeks at this point. Who is a little slow. Maybe the trial is getting to him. Maybe, as mental health experts have been pointing out since the trial began, this anxiety, this stress, the anger that he is feeling is causing his already feeble cognitive state to decline even further. But another very interesting thing happened, because in that Wisconsin rally, again, that was the first of two of that day, in that Wisconsin rally, he tells the crowd, like, isn't it great to have a president that doesn't have to read from a teleprompter? Well, then that leads us over into Michigan, where Donald Trump was trying to read off a teleprompter before the teleprompter malfunctioned, which then caused Donald Trump to completely malfunction. So here is the clip of that. Again, just hours after he said, I don't need a teleprompter. And then he panics because his teleprompters go out. Take a look.
Because this teleprompter is facing you. Not this. These teleprompters are just gonzo, folks. They're gonzo. I hate to use the word folks. Cross out the word folks. You ever hear Biden? Every other word is folks. Okay, folks. It's like a nervous habit. I don't use the word folks.
So not only is he not able to continue going with his little speech when his teleprompters go out, but then he goes off script. He's like, okay, you know what? I don't even need these. I can talk on my own. And let me tell you how much I don't like the word folks, right? Folks. Biden uses the word folks. I don't want to take that word out of our vocabulary, folks. I mean, people. I mean, other human beings over there writing my scripts for me that I apparently can't even read. This is the guy. This is the guy that Republicans are looking at and saying, oh, yeah, let's put him back in the White House for 4 more years. Now, listen, I have worked in live TV. I have worked in, you know, live to tape TV. And I know how difficult it can be, because I've done it myself, too, when a teleprompter goes out. But I have seen really talented people who are good at public speaking. That teleprompter can malfunction and they can keep going and not miss a beat whatsoever. It's the people who are 100% glued to that teleprompter, where if there's any kind of lag on it or they get to that bottom line and it hasn't scrolled up or, you know, the screen goes blank, they go blank. Those are people that cannot think for themselves. Those are people who are not quick on their feet. And those are people who honestly shouldn't even be in a position where they have to read off a teleprompter because, frankly, they're just not good at it. Donald Trump is one of those people. I understand that his people, his campaign, they want to keep him on script because they know if they don't, he's going to start talking about locks and words that he doesn't like. But sometimes you got to just let him go, because when that teleprompter malfunctions, it creates even more problems and makes him look even dumber than if he'd never had it at all. Marjorie Taylor Greene has made it clear that next week she is absolutely forcing the vote on ousting Speaker Mike Johnson as the current Speaker of the House of Representatives, which of course would plummet the House into total chaos as they try to find a new speaker in an election year. And during an interview with Steve Bannon this week, Marjorie Taylor Greene admits that nobody likes what she's doing. She admits that she's creating a lot of drama and, let's face it, a lot of headaches for her own party. She just doesn't care. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene told Steve Bannon. We have Mike Johnson going in there and basically giving a sloppy kiss to Hakeem Jeffries, and Jeffries taking him in with a great big hug and them holding and sharing the speaker's gavel together. That's what's wrong for America. Steve, nobody wants this drama right now, but it's Mike Johnson that has completely brought it on all of us. Yeah, this is inconvenient. Yeah, this is something I don't want to have to do with right now. Yeah, this is something that our conference shouldn't have to go through. So, before I continue, let's look at this. Marjorie Taylor Greene is at least self-aware enough to know that nobody likes her. Nobody likes what she's doing. Nobody likes the drama she's causing. And she herself is like, yeah, this is probably a dumb thing that I'm doing. So she's self-aware enough to know that, but she's too damn stubborn to stop it, right? She's like, he brought this on himself. No, he didn't. He passed a popular package that even Donald Trump was like, yeah, you need to pass this. But you are still so dead set in your ways of causing chaos, that you won't just be like, all right, fine. You know what? We'll stick it out through the election. We'll deal with this after the fact. That's all you have to do. That's all you had to do. You could have still gone out there in the media, been a big old blowhard about it, ranted and raved every day about Mike Johnson if you wanted to, and then ended it with, but we will deal with that when the time is right. We got to get through this election first. That's it. But she is too stubborn and, I believe firmly, too stupid to know that that's what she should do. So anyway, she continued. I didn't come up here to Washington to go along and get along and put it in cruise control and just have an easy job, cushy job up here in Washington while America burns down to the ground and gets taken over by George Soros and all of his protests and Hamas and fully open borders and we're being invaded and the economy falls apart and our dollar loses value and inflation continues to skyrocket and our kids have no hope for the future. I'm sorry, I'm not here to participate in the Uniparty, but I can't wait to deliver a vote for American voters next week so they can have a fully transparent list of everybody here in Congress that believes in the Uniparty and has a membership card in the Uniparty. It's always fun when a politician learns a new word. Now, for the last couple weeks here, Marjorie Taylor Greene has been using the word Uniparty to describe what's happening in Washington, D.C. And there in that one little paragraph, you know, two or three sentences, she used it three different times. Like, well, yeah, I mean, the Uniparty likes to unilaterally party and uni parties are partying with the unis. Like, just, oh, we get it. You learned a new word. I am so proud of you. There are so many more words you need to learn, though. So let's move on from Uniparty because you've kind of beaten that one to death already and maybe open up that dictionary, just random page, learn some new words. What do you say? But anyway, as I mentioned, everybody hates Marjorie Taylor Greene. And that's not speculation. CNN spoke to five different Republican lawmakers this week, and this is what they had to say about Greene's push to oust Speaker Johnson. First, you have Republican Representative Dan Bacon, who says 98% of us consider Greene's move disgusting. Disgusting is the word he used. Republican Representative Mark Molinaro from New York, he said, I think this is all about wanting more attention and not producing actual results. I 100% agree with that. Andy Ogles, Republican from Tennessee, said that Greene's threat was a distraction and a mistake. Republican Representative Derek Van Orden from Wisconsin said, we have to understand this is not a junior high school reality television show. And then, of course, Matt Gaetz said, I think in an election year right now, it probably doesn't portend it too well. So Gaetz was trying to be a little more highbrow with his criticism. But nevertheless, you've got a handful of Republicans just there talking crap about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Other Republicans have come out in recent weeks attacking her, and not just attacking her, but then praising the media, including Fox News, for attacking her. So everybody hates Marge right now. Everybody. She has no friends. She has no allies. She damn sure doesn't even have the votes to oust Speaker Johnson. But she is going to put herself through that humiliation next week, and I'm so glad that she is, because she is too damn stubborn to back off her point. And she's going to pay the price for it next week. It's becoming increasingly likely that Judge Juan Merchan is probably at some point during this criminal trial going to have to stick Donald Trump in a jail cell. I mean, let's be honest, the slap on the wrist that he got earlier this week for violating the gag order was just that, a slap on the wrist, but it did come with a warning that was basically, you do it again, you gotta go to jail. And they had another hearing about Trump's gag order violations on Thursday morning, so Judge Merchan definitely has a big decision to make. And according to Rolling Stone, Donald Trump's lawyers and his allies over at his campaign have actually been holding little strategy sessions recently. This is according to sources within there. Spoke to Rolling Stone and said, yeah, we've come up with what they're calling the jailbreak strategy. Now, before you get too excited, they don't mean that they're going to, you know, somehow do a big prison break type thing if Trump gets locked up or, you know, anything like that. No. It's just a strategy session for them to figure out how to prevent Donald Trump from having to hear those bars slam shut. And this brilliant idea, get that. Well, you know what? Let me read it. Let me just read it so you can see how smart these people really are. Two sources familiar with the matter told the magazine that several Trump advisors and attorneys have discussed the plan, which they call the jailbreak strategy, with the former president, saying they would file an emergency writ of habeas corpus they feel certain would win an emergency stay of a contempt order. The sources said the advisors told Trump they believe the stay would be granted before authorities were able to sort out the logistical hurdles of putting an ex-president into a jail cell when he's guarded by an armed Secret Service detail. So their grand plan, right? You put all the smartest guys together in a room. They're all sitting there and they're like, what can we do? If this guy gets put in jail, how do we handle this? Well, what is the one thing that we have to do if he gets put in jail? Let's go through that first. Well, the one thing we have to do is we have to appeal it, right? Okay, yeah. So what do we do if they put him in jail? And I guess a guy raised his hand. He says, what if we just do that? But we just do it really fast. Like, that's their plan. We're going to appeal it, but we're not just going to appeal it. Oh, no. Don't you worry, Donald. We're going to appeal it quickly. Yeah, that's why we get paid the big bucks. Because any lawyer could file an appeal if their client gets put in jail. Anybody can do that. Takes a real mastermind to do it fast. And I promise you, we got the fastest typist out there. They will write up that complaint in that order. We just get it submitted. We'll pay the filing fee. We already got the check like halfway written out. We can do that real quick, man. Like, we're super fast lawyers. And this is the brilliant plan we have. To quickly file an appeal saying the judge can't do this. So where's that appeal going to go, guys? Did you think about that? Like, did you have any real thought in your strategy session? Because that appeal is going to go to the appeals court. The same appeals court that has consistently ruled against you and by all measures at this point doesn't really like you. So super smart plan, right? Honestly, it probably would have been a better plan if y'all sat there talking about how logistically you could bake a file into a cake and deliver it to the prison to him. Like, that would be a better strategy than what you're planning here, because what you're planning, again, is literally the only thing you can do, and it's the thing that you would basically have to do. So you didn't come up with a new idea. All you said is, well, we're going to do the thing that you would want us to do. We're just going to do it like faster than you've ever seen. Well, best of luck for that. Not to mention the fact, I should point this out, they've said, we're going to do it before they figure out how to, you know, really logistically work out the Secret Service watching him in jail. Oh, well, guess what, buddy boy? They already figured that out. Now, we publicly do not have the answers, but we do know that the Secret Service has already met with the NYPD and they have gone over how they would handle if Donald Trump is put in jail. So it doesn't matter how fast you are. You would need a time machine for your little plan to work, because they've already worked out the nuts and bolts of it. We don't have to know, because technically, because it's dealing with the service, Secret Service, we don't get to know, right? This is for his safety, so it is a secret plan, but they already have their plan. So doesn't matter how fast you write out that appeal and get it sent to the court, they figured it out weeks ago, which is probably what you guys should have done too. Listening to today's Fair and Balanced Daily. Stay up to date with all of our content by finding us on YouTube at youtube.com/fairandbalanced and follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fair and Balanced.